Beloved congregation, there are in this evening two things that have to draw our attention. In the first place, it is an hour of reflection in regard to that sacrament of the Lord's Supper that was administered in this morning hour. And as well as the hour of preparation, so it is also in this evening an hour that each and every one shall come to himself, as well those that came to this table in this morning as those who remain seated. It is for all of us a great responsibility, and we have to give before the Lord an answer, whether it was in truth and uprightness that we came to this table, whether that we have received a wedding garment, and that wedding garment that refers to a regeneration, that refers to the beginning of the work of God in our heart. And there are for each and every one two things to consider: whether that there is in our life and was in our life a godly sorrow after our sins, but also by times a divine joy in Christ Jesus. That are the things that must lay upon our heart. Rutherford, he wrote in his sermon that everybody, well, 2-3 times a day, that they must separate themselves from the world, come in their inner chamber to lay their case before the Lord, whether it was right or whether it was wrong. Because it is an eternity where we are traveling to, where never an end shall come to. In regard to eternity, then it is but a few days that we live here in this world. It is a thought and nothing else. Last week, it was 28 years ago that we for the first time have preached in hell and heaven. Once in the week and one on Sunday, 28 years ago already. And if you ask me where is now the time, I don't know. A thought, a shadow, nothing else. But nevertheless, congregation, it lays all before me and for you. What we have done with all the warnings and with all the admonitions and with all the labors that the Lord has bestowed upon us. And it have to be truth here inside. And you know, congregation, it shall be never and never true if the Lord himself it not make truth inside. We cannot do that. Those that remain seated, how was our attitude in this morning, in this afternoon, before that you came to the church in this evening? Were you in your inner chamber? Was there not some that had bowed their knees before the Lord? Was there not some impression that you say, Lord, what shall it be? Lived under the truth all the time of my life, and I'm still so hard as that wall and as a millstone? Can we blame the Lord? No. It is all our own fault, people. Even that the Lord is free and sovereign, but it is all our own fault. And that it became is our own fault. And with every ministration of the Lord's Supper, it is so that there is people, one time they are there, another time they are not there. And of course, we cannot say that all those that walk to that table upon what they think that they have, that have taken place in their life, we cannot accept that too. No. That they come to that table as that it was a common table, because they think they are converted and they have something, but they show in their life that they know nothing. Nothing. No true humbleness. No need. No desire after Christ and after his righteousness. And congregation, we cannot leave. We cannot lean upon some experiences, and we cannot lean upon some text. It have to be Christ and him crucified. That is the only way. Without him, there can be never peace with the Lord. And reconciliation without him? No. And we know that the Lord have to give everything to us. We know that. But nevertheless, we are responsible. And if in the preaching of the word, if we are never included in it, and there is never any joy in the Spirit in our life, then it is really an open question whether that there was ever something of him. The Lord is not never a wilderness for his people. No. You read in Psalm 68, he strengthened his inheritance when they are weary. Even that it is short, But the Lord gave them something in their life and strengthened their heart by his divine grace. We have to examine ourselves closely. And that is also for you who will make confession of faith this evening. You have heard out of Article 28 that it is the duty of every man to join with the true church. And it is so necessary, people, that we are convinced that that truth that we join, that we can trust it for eternity. Even with our conscience, that there were moments in our life that we say, I believe that that is the way and that that is the only way. To a certain extent, when we join the church, it is the same thing as that we merit. And you merit not this evening with wood and stone, no. The building that goes one day down, and all the churches go down. But built upon that foundation of the prophets and the apostles, of whom is Christ the cornerstone. When we become members of the church, it is necessary that we show that in our life too. Boys and girls, not walking as the world walks. Because if we walk and live as the world walks and there is a conduct, then we can realize that we are in shame without confession and for the church. And finally, it is our duty to become a member, confessing member. In the Old Testament, the church discipline was executed in according what you read in Leviticus to those that did not respect circumcision and Passover. And then the priest had to place them outside of the camp. There was always a discipline. And the people of Israel was called to bow before the Lord and to walk in his ways, even that it was outwardly. But this evening, in this short time that is given me to preach, I have something in my mind for those, for the whole congregation, of course, but also in regard to this hour of reflection and to the people that will join the church. And you will ask me what is now the main point in this evening, the main subject of your sermon, that I will lay in your midst some evidences of spiritual life wrought in our heart by the Holy Spirit. I hope, with the help of the Lord congregation, that I may do it in such a way, a manner, that everybody, also our young people, can follow me. My text is for this evening Luke 23rd. Luke 23rd, verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This far. that thief on the cross congregation, he had the evidences in his life and in his heart of the true work of the Lord. First of all, in regard to my text, I have to lay a firm foundation of it. And that firm foundation that is in Luke 2. In the words spoken by that old Simeon when he was standing there with the Lord Jesus in his arms. And then you read in verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Simeon, he came there with the doctrine of predestination, the doctrine of election and rejection. And I am not afraid to talk about it. I am glad that I can talk about the congregation. And why I am so glad that I can talk about it, because that is the only opening for a poor and for a wretched sinner. If it was not in the counsel of God from all eternity, then it would never happen that a sinner be converted. No. There is not one congregation that is asking after the Lord. No. You read in Romans 3, verse 19 or 20, they all have sinned, and they all come short of the glory of God. And there is a difference in the revelation of life. Some people is religion, and other people is wicked. But finally, we are all the same people. We are all the same. And we have no desire in the ways of the Lord. But it was from all eternity in the heart of the Father to glorify himself in all his attributes, and that in that only way that is in Christ Jesus opened for a poor and for a wretched sinner. And it is such a blessing, congregation, that the Lord never and never and never, that he knocked on our door and that he asked a man whether that he had a desire to fear the Lord. No. Is the Lord not knocking? Yes. Yes, he is knocking on our door, on the door of our heart. In the first place, the Lord is free from me and you. He created us after the image of God. And in the second place, he made himself free, sending his Son into this world. But, oh, congregation, I am not bothering with that. No. I am not bothering with that. No. Nothing at all. I will live my own life. And if your little conscience, oh, then we say, I am too young. I am too young. 40, 50, maybe 60, 70, 80. One day I say to a man, 99 years old, you are close to death. You shall think day and night about your coffin. Many said no. And brought up in our religion, oh yes, he knows. I say, why? That you are so listless. Oh, he say, once I read in a paper that in Hungary that there was a man that became 110 years old. And I hope so too. But we have never time, congregation, on account that we have none, no desires. That is the reason. But now to go not further in that this evening, what a blessing that the Lord steps in here. That he steps in our heart. And that he said, hitherto and no further. Hitherto and no further. And then it is done. Then it is done. Oh, then it is done, congregation. Then we come to a place where we never came in our life. Then you can find that people in their inner chambers. You can find them upstairs. You can find it in the basement. You can find them in the factory, in the office. You can find them everywhere. They lay there. And they call upon the name of the Lord. Against thee I have sinned and have done what is evil in thy holy sight. We become a sinner. The work of the Lord, the work of the Lord. And of course, yeah, that soul they say, Lord, and they lay there, I don't know thee, I don't know thee. But please, Lord, make thyself as known unto me. Because in the first time, it is an unknown God. It is an unknown God. But they ask that the Lord will reveal himself. In the morning, in the evening, in the night, they lay there, begging, sighing, crying. One time stronger than the other. But there's no more out of their mind, no. Sin is a burden to them. And it is a grief for them. And missing God, that is so terrible, that they say, Lord, what shall it be to die without thee? And then to curse thee forever and forever. To curse. Here singing psalms by my father and mother in their house already in the church, and then to curse thee. In hell is nobody that loved the Lord, nobody that praised the Lord, nobody that glorified the Lord. And in that outer darkness, people, there shall be gnashing, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, then they say, oh, that eternity, oh, that eternity. Was I never born? Then it happens many times when they see a bird in the sky, a cow, a horse, a duck, a cat, that the tears come in their eyes and that they say, oh, animal, you are happier as I. Happier. I have sinned and I have to die. I have to meet my maker and I cannot, I cannot. And then that they, in our days, they say, oh, you have the Bible, all your people. Even that they have 1,000 Bibles in my house. Shall not profit me. But shall profit my heart and my soul, people, that the Lord has taken one word out of his holy word and speak that to my soul, one word. David, in Psalm 35, then he says, speak to my soul, I am thy salvation. In Matthew 8, then you read about that Eden's cat. Christ came to his house and he heard that he was on the way to come there. But he said, no. He said, I am not worthy that thou comest on the night. But speak, speak. Only one word. And I told you that congregation so many times. It shall be no more so many times as before. No. It goes to the end. It goes to the end. But that people, in which, in whom the Holy Spirit is working here in sight. Oh, time and again they lay there before the Lord, pouring out their heart and ask for one word. Yeah, one word, yes, people, one word. For one smile. For one thought. And they are so willing to confess that they are not worthy the least of God's consideration, that they are worthy to be cast in hell. They know the morning that they awoke, and that they look to the sky. I was 40 years old when that happens. And then I say, Lord, is it still reality that I am living? Is it still reality? Can I still be comforted? And then that people, the eyes upon the Lord. And that is now all I mention, are only two things, because yet I can say my some words, people. But, oh, that goes on and that goes on. And if it is the work of the Lord, it stops never. It goes on and it goes on. Sometime that devil, he said, make an end to your life. There is water. There is a rope. Without fame you are in the world. All those things. But there is one thing that the devil never can do with that people. Never. He had a great power. Oh, a great power. But there is one thing he cannot hinder that. And what is that one thing? That they drag to the Lord. And that they say, Lord, be merciful to me, sinners. Oh, yes, there is so many things, people, before, because I shall now mention it alone this evening to you, and no further, on account of the shortness of time. But first in our life, then we become a sinner. Later on, then we become a poor sinner. And later on, we become a wretched sinner. And finally, a condemned sinner. I hope that you can follow it, I say it, with the love of my heart this evening. If we have grace in our soul, with all our experiences, we more have to go to hell than to heaven. After all that we have experienced, even that we laid at the breast of Christ with John the Apostle, even that we had said in our life, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love. If we have tasted that the Lord is good, oh, shall I say to you, that sometime that those times were there, that we till midnight, that we lay as in the arms of the Lord. Oh, and that he spoke to us. That he comforted us. And that I could pour out my heart for him. And that was, oh, happy times, people, happy times. Unforgettable times. Oh, it shall never go out of my mind and out of my heart. But many times covered. Oh, many times covered. And then the question that come, people, shall it ever come back? Shall it ever come back? And even that we are assured in our heart with Paul and with David of the grace that the Lord had given in our soul, and that there are times that we are not afraid for what lay behind us. My eyes shall see him and no stranger, but that way that leads to death. And whether that we shall meet him. I have heard some of God's children before that they die, that they say to me, I cannot come again to a place where I was before. Where I was before. All own guilt and sin. Not the Lord, no. There is no unrighteousness in him. I am the blame. I am the blame for it. But people, in regard to my text, for Christ was there no place, no more place here on earth. He was hanging on Calvary's cross between heaven and earth. But here on earth, they crucified him. In heaven, he could not enter. But then he received a place to enter in. And that was in the heart of that thief on the cross. There he came to dwell. And the thief on the cross. A great malefactor, a murderer. Yeah. A murderer. A man who had taken the life of other people. A man who could no more live in the world. He was sentenced to be crucified. And there at once the Lord stepped in That is what I say this evening. The Lord steps in the heart of his children. He steps in. And then from that time on, they belong to him. And no one shall pluck them out of my hands. Notwithstanding all that strife that there takes place in our heart, people. And the depths of the devil in which we come in our life, by day and by night. One knows it, the Lord only, not other ones. No. And if you now ask me this evening, what were now the evidences of that man confessing? What were the evidences? In the first place, that admonished his neighbor. When they came on the cross, them both they were cursing. Think about it. How quick that all goes. In one of the evangelists it said that they both were reviling and both were cursing. And then at once it is different. That one of the malefactors, that man he would well deliver from the cross, but not deliver from sin. Not deliver from sin. And he said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. If thou be Christ. The same word as the devil said in Matthew 4 to Christ, if thou be the Son of God. And otherwise that the word if, that means there, you are not the Son of God. We do not recognize thee as the Son of God. So say that man, oh, hell was before his sight, people. And still so hard as a millstone. No humbleness. No humbleness at all. But then the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? He would say to that other man, I have to go to hell, you too. That is our future. And then, congregation, you can see the true conversion of a sin. There was a Michigan ministry, he said, on the pulpit some years ago. He said, I will never mention in my congregation the word hell. And the word condemnation, I will not mention that. I will not make the people afraid. But could we just make them afraid, right? Could we just make them afraid that they could not keep themselves in their bed tonight? And that with the service of the king been added, that they were walking this night is from room in room? It was a blessing. If it was the work of the Lord, oh, I would say, people, I wish that the Lord gave it this in your heart that you could not sleep on it this night. Seeing thou art in the same condemnation. If the Lord comes, then we accept the punishment and we accept our condemnation. We have to say nothing. Only to wait what the Lord shall do with me. And of course with fear and with trembling. Because that soul that knows what lay behind it. Here. Oh, here they cannot cry to him. But if we are in hell, then it is all done. then the only thing that is to curse him forever and forever. And no drop of water to cool an old tongue. In the same condemnation. And then he said further, and we indeed justly, he would say, the Lord can do nothing else with me and with you too. Justly. Oh, people, if the Lord come in your life, then he poured out his love in your heart. And then it comes so much love to the Lord in your soul that you love him above everything. And not in public, oh, that takes a long time before that we have freedom to talk in public. But when we are alone with him, oh, then we say sometime, Lord, you have the highest place here in my heart. I have such a love for you. I love you above everything. There's a sign of life. Oh, yes. Sometime if they're alone in their home, no other people, oh, yeah, it is too bad. But if they are alone, then they talk with him. He talked with the Lord. Did you, 12 boys and girls, did you ever talk to the Lord? And then that people that is pouring out their heart before, they say to the Lord everything. But they never shall mention to anybody here in the world, they say it to the Lord. They make known all their needs and all their wants. Acknowledge me in all thy ways, and I shall direct all your paths. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our sin deeds. We have taken the life of other people, and now my life that must be taken also. That is in Genesis 9 verse 6, that the Lord had commanded it. And the Lord is right in all his ways and in all his acts. I desire not that the Lord come back to it. No. If the one of the attributes of the Lord must be denied for my salvation, then I would say, Lord, send me to hell. I have more love in my heart than for myself. Because if there come a grace in our heart, people, then there come a time that we hate our own life. That we hate our own life. That we say, Lord, was there now ever in the world a wretched as I am? It is in Psalm 95, 40 years I have grief. I was grieved by the people. 40 years. For we received the due reward over our deeds. That man he condemned himself. That man that took over his guilt. He took over his punishment when he justified God. But he also believed that Jesus was without sin, blameless. Because he said, but this man has done nothing amiss. Oh, that lovely people of the Lord that declare that the Lord is right. You have not to say something of him. No. No, let him alone. Let him alone. Because otherwise there are people that come on the foreground. And that shall fight not for himself. But that shall fight for the Lord. That his name be honored. And his name be glorified. But this man has done nothing amiss. He saw there Christ, the Son of God, without original and without actual sin. He saw the King in his beauty, and then, yeah, outwardly, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. His whole body was blood, and he has spit in his face, as you can realize. Oh, what an unsightly face that Christ had there. But still he said he had done nothing amiss. He saw him as the Son of God. And then he said also, Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And that are the two things that I will now say some words to you. That is this, that man, he acknowledged Jesus in his Godhead and in his kingship. In few minutes, that man that had more divine knowledge as the disciples in 3 years, he saw him there as the Son of God, and he saw him there as the King of Zion. Therefore he said, Lord, remember me. He did not say, Lord, bring me in heaven. He did not say, Lord, deliver me from the cross. No. Oh, congregation, could I express this to you in the English language as I desire? That man that had not one thought to come in heaven. Would you think it in people? The only thing that was in his mind, that was that he had to go to hell. But he said, Lord, remember me. I go to hell. I go to hell. That is my place. But if I soon in hell, maybe tomorrow, maybe this evening, and I have then some thought in at the bottom of hell, that blessed King is thinking upon me and remembering me, then it shall to the joy of my heart, Lord, remember me. He did not ask for anything, but only to remember him. When thou comest into thy kingdom, into thy kingdom. What is the Lord free, congregation? What is the Lord free in his actions? There are so many amongst God's people, sometime till the day of their death, and the last day of their life in fear, whether that it is true, whether that it is right. Oh, so many, so much darkness, so much strife. And that they say here inside, where is now thou God, upon whom he trusts and we're leaning, where is he? And now this man, in few moments, the Lord, he brought him through everything. Lord remembers, and we need not in congregation to go in the air. No. That go easy enough. But to come in the valley of truth's humiliation, that need an almighty power. An almighty power. And that is something wonderful. If the Lord give his people the privilege to bow before him and to lay under him, then they say, Lord, please, deeper, 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 that there is nothing left of me. and that thy name shall be honored and be glorified. And such people, oh, that receive the answer, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Verily, because that man that died before, that died after that Christ died, and then that, how long it was, I don't know, of course, an hour of a quartier, 50 minutes. But in that half hour, or in that hour, then the devil came to him. And the devil vexed still. Devil, Christ said, verily. Christ said, everyone were too much. Too much. No, we need it. And then, of course, another thing, congregation. The soldiers came and they broke the legs of that two malefactors. And you know what that means spiritually? That the Lord, he paid us out before that we die. He paid us out. He had not to suffer that suffering that his legs were broken. Because nobody shall enter into heaven without tribulation. Without tribulation. And now, today you shall be with me in paradise. We runt out of paradise, out of the Garden of Eden. But now Christ, through his mediatorial work, he brings his people there back in paradise. He brings them back there. And then they shall always with the Lord, and they have the Lord's Supper always. Oh, they shall sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then all murderers and covetous. And, oh, people, what shall I say, what we are? But they shall sit round about the table in the presence of the triune God. They shall not meet the high shadow. Oh, nay, no. On the floor, in deep humility. And then to praise the Lamb that he had bought them with his blood. And to acknowledge the Father that he had chosen them. And the Holy Spirit that he came to work in their heart. Tis too bad, but the time calls me to stop for this evening. Shall it not ever happen in our life, people, that we preach to you? Shall it not ever happen? We don't know. But I hope that also the words of this Sabbath day, that it be blessed to your poor soul. And I have explained a little, the evidences of spirit to your life. Do you know something of it? Do you know something of it, people? Do you know the places and the times that it was true in your heart, what we have heard this evening? Oh, if it never was true. If it never was true, people, that the Lord make it true inside. Before that it is too late. Before that it shall be too late. And that forever and forever. Children, boys and girls, you are still in the land of living and in the day of salvation. Therefore harden not your heart, but that the Lord bring you on your knees before that it is too late, and then too late forever. That the seriousness was bound upon your heart. Oh, people, do not rest on things that shall fall away, even going to the Lord's table, but never knowing anything of Christ, and never any desire after him. You shall deceive your soul for eternity. But poor seeking people in my midst, who have moments in their life that they can say, Lord, Lord, there is something here in sight. As an heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth thee, O living God. Most of the time I am a hypocrite. An hypocrite. But sometime a sinner. When the Lord made me a sinner. And Christ came in the world for sinners to save, to seek and to save. To save them to the uppermost. O children of God, let that be your comfort. In life and in death, he who began the good work, that he shall perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony, what we have heard and spoken in this Sabbath day in the midst of this congregation. Apply it to the heart of sinners and to the heart of thy people, that we meditate upon it, and that it be a blessing for our soul. Remember the congregation, remember the offers, bearers, elders, and deacons. Give them to fight for the truth which is in Christ Jesus, and to seek the welfare of the congregation, that the time may come that also the children of our congregation may find a place that they be instructed from day to day in that truth and in that doctrine which is delivered from thee to our fathers, and our fathers and mothers have delivered into our hands. Give this people a servant of the Lord. Remember that mother and that family that hope to go to that, to make that far trip tomorrow. We commend her at the throne of grace. Oh, Lord, if it can please thee, remember their body, but especially deliver their soul. And remember those dear children, the whole congregation, parents and children. Look upon each and everyone in mercy. Forgive all the shortcomings and hear us for Christ's sake only. Amen. Now, I asked those that will make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. Do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Do you promise by the grace of God to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? Do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and sure discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you should become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? Mr. John Wickbold. Yes. Mr. Thomas Tau. Mr. Edward Sweet. Miss Katine Rose, yes. And Miss Corinne Edelman. I hope that you never shall have regret of what you had confessed before the consistory and this evening before the congregation. It is the same as that you have made an oath. Think about it. And it is a blessing and a privilege that the Lord still give an opportunity that it can be. It is possible that the time come that the Lord take the truth away from us, that he plant it over in other country. It is possible. Because the question that is, people, what have we done with it? Congregation, what have we done with it? And how many amongst us that is looking for that old Reformed doctrine, God all and man nothing. For that doctrine that they know and desire to know nothing else than Christ Jesus and him crucified as the only name which is given under heaven whereby that we must be saved. Public confession, that is good, but is not enough for eternity. We must be born again, shall it be well. And I hope that the Lord remember his covenant, also here amongst you, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that he will confirm, instead of your fathers, shall the sons and the daughters. It is far away, oh, it is so far away, but the Lord is faithful in what he had promised. And I hope also that the consistory have never regret that they have to take you on as members. That you find your home in this church, and your life in this doctrine. And if we find our life in this doctrine, oh, then there shall be one desire to remain in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. And then, when the end of life shall be there, that we are privileged to be translated out of the church militant to the church triumphant, where God's people shall be perfect and forever in that full communion with the Lord. We sing now together the first stanza, and I hope that become your life. The first stanza of number 60, while the congregation arise from the seats. Show me thy path, O Lord. Teach me thy perfect way. O guide me in thy truth divine, and lead me day by day. Number 60, the third stanza. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.